Welcome, everybody. It's time once again for the next chapter with Charlie Hedges. As he explores turning the page on his life and yours. Hey, Charlie.
Hi, Paul. It's nice to see you, and I'd like to welcome all our listeners to the next chapter with Charlie, where we dissect strategies and tactics used by successful people to make life changes necessary for their meaningful next chapter in life. My special guest today is our good friend Terry Hershey. Today, Terry and I plan to talk about the critical nature and relationship of trust and character. I'm curious about how we gain trust in a person and how much their character has to do with it. So let's get to it. Terry, what's up, man?
Charles.
So.
Speaking of character and speaking of trust, I had an issue this week which kind of woke me up a little bit. You know I'm a Luddite. I'm essentially Amish. You know my phone goes off when I'm talking to you. And you know my capacity with, like, that's a perfect illustration. My capacity with devices is suspect. So my friend's texting me. I design gardens. I'm at a job 2 days ago. My friends are texting me and say, "You realize you're on Facebook Live now, don't you?"
Yes, I was. I happen to be one of those friends.
Apparently, you can butt Facebook dial now, whatever, live. And so that the true definition of character is if you can be Facebook Live and not know it and still come across okay, you must have okay character.
Well, you came across with nothing, so it's it shows a blank character. So before I had some things I wanted to talk about, but just before, even while the intro music is going on, our producer asked a question, and I think it's a good question. Is character, because we're going to talk about the relationship between character and trust. And he asked, is character even important today like it was, 20, 30 years ago? Is it even an issue that people pay attention to? Does it make a difference about a person's character and integrity and whatever, however we define character?
Well, it's interesting. For starters, we've got to come to some understanding about what are we tethering character to? In other words, these are non-negotiables. Step back, and then I'll answer the question. You've been to or are aware of many talks that are given to people who have graduated, right?
Right.
And it's an interesting what they're invited to do. Some of them are simply invited to go out and be the best them they can be in the world.
Yeah. That's always really exciting. Yeah.
Yes, but it's focused on who, it's focused on sort of it's about me and whether I succeed or fail. And so the question is always, what do I want from life? And so then I see the world through the lens of my particular ego and all of that goes with that. And at what point do I ask, what does life want from me? So I only ask that because that's when we're starting to think about character. So let me ask you a question because I'll say the same thing to you. I tell stories about my father. My father is a brick mason. Well, he was. He's 84, still alive, but he doesn't do brickwork anymore. I grew up working as a tender for a brick mason. Obviously, when you're the eldest son of a brick mason, you don't have a choice. You can either mix mortar or you can mix mortar. Those are the two choices you have.
Right.
And I hated it. But what was fascinating about my dad is, because I just didn't necessarily know that I respected the work per se, until I realized what we were doing. We were actually building houses. that made lives different. But here's the point, is my father never signed a contract in his life. Because my father said to me, when I shake a person's hand, son, that's my word and my name. Now, to the point, I would argue, yes, that's character. So that's my word and my name. Now, the discussion that you and I can have today is, where did that go and what happened to that? Because the irony is, and I don't mean to veer this off in another direction, is my father, who is unbelievably a man of character in that regard, that is my word and my name. I stand here. You can stand here. You are safe to stand here. I take responsibility here. I take care for you here. That's character. I fundamentally believe that. But my father now supports someone in this culture, no surprise, who is not that person at all. So I don't know. I don't mean to go that direction.
I don't get your father supports someone.
Donald Trump.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying is, what happened to that?
That's a great question, and you're asking me what happened to that?
Well, because this is a fascinating discussion. When you and I, when we go into, I'm all over the place today, because when we go into workplaces and sit down with teams and ask them what values drive the work they do,
right,
the culture of the work they do, what tethers them there? We're actually asking, what's the character of your place? True?
Exactly.
And the men and women of character are able to sustain that, yes? And if they don't have the character, it's hard to sustain. And many of the right words will be used. We want to be people who are trustworthy. We want to be people who are authentic.
Well, it's a Boy Scout model.
Exactly. Who are honest and all of those things. And so my question to people now is, that all sounds wonderful and good, but tell me what we're doing for one another to make sure that's alive and well.
So in your mind, and if I'm understanding this correctly, I agree 100%, character is not so much an individual quality, but it's a corporate, it's a collective, it's a social, it's something that has to do with other people. If you were the only person in the world, there would be no such thing as character. Who cares? It is a social phenomenon.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, absolutely. So let's start there. Let's start with what I would call the non-negotiables. One is, to be a person of character, you have empathy, you care with your character, or as we would say, you're a citizen. But the point is, you believe that we belong to one another.
Right.
That the good of us is more than the good of me. That's a person of character. That's like my father. The good of the family is beyond the good of me. So we ought to, the us becomes a really important part of character. And that's why bullies can't have character. It's not about us. That's why strong men can't have character. It's not about us. That's why egomaniacs can't have character. It's not about, or not, excuse me, I misspoke. They've lost their character.
I thought you weren't going to talk about our president.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, I've been around. Yeah, well, you know, in our world, our religious world, how many bullies there are.
Oh my goodness! Yes.
Yeah, they've lost their character. So that's one. We're connected. Empathy, listening, care, any of those things that connect us. The second is, because of that, there's a sense of responsibility. Like my dad, that's my name. I belong here. But if I'm responsible, I'm committed. I'm in. I'm all in. I'm in here, which means I can be vulnerable and I can be wrong, and all that's okay, because I'm in. I don't have to be right all the time.
Okay, I'm writing these down as soon as I get my pad. So your first one was It is social. It is...
That we're connected.
That we're connected, and we're still looking for a piece of paper.
Yes, that's the third one is we're still looking for a piece of paper. That's number three.
Okay, so it's connection, then what?
Well, yeah, connected. And you can add all the words to that, empathy, care, listening, citizenship. But nobody is on this journey alone. You can't be. We're not human alone. We're not. And you've done teamwork. Think about this for a minute in the sports analogy. How is it possible to have character if you're in it for yourself on a team? You can't be. Not a possibility.
You know, that's really funny. My son, as a professional baseball player, talks about the success of a team is highly contingent upon the personality of the clubhouse.
And, 100%.
And how the players get along and what they get along with. And he talks about, and I'm happy to say because it's a proud thing, Eric Hosmer, the guy that we got from the Kansas City Royals, he said is just a man of straight character, leadership ability. He brings a team together. Everybody rallies around him. And he's a man who is not interested, and he's struggling right now, and which is unusual for him to struggle. But he's not as much into his personal numbers as he is into the team numbers. And my son used to be that way. I remember when people would come up to him and ask him, so after a game, and he had had a really good game, and they would say, so how was your game? And he'd say, well, you know, the second inning we kind of struggled. Our defense wasn't exactly right. In the third inning, our hitting came around. And he just started talking about the team, and they were asking him about himself personally, but that's not what he was interested in. He was interested in how the team did.
Okay,
so those are you talking about character
qualities.
Yeah,
that's a perfect segue to number two, because number one is we are in this together. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than my ego. And number two, because of that, I have responsibility now. You know, you and I talk about this when you're in a relationship. I'm responsible. And because I'm responsible, it's okay for me to be both committed and vulnerable. Just like you just said, I could be struggling. It's okay for me to be wrong. Why? Because we're there to pick each other up. It's okay to admit we're struggling. It's okay to admit that one of us is stronger right now than the other. That's someone of character. That's a powerful thing.
I totally agree, Terry, but I'm just wondering, how is this responsible? I'm responsible for myself?
No. I have, in other words, I'm engaged in something now.
Got it.
Your son just said the team, we did this. In other words, I have a responsibility now for the betterment of something. In that case, it's a sports thing, right? But whatever it is, you go to Uganda, you don't say, oh, my God, look at the selfies I took in Uganda.
I don't think I've taken a selfie in my life.
Great? Yeah. Look at my great trip for humanitarianism. I took this selfie. No, but the point is, it changes your thinking to what does it mean to take responsibility for the betterment of something.
I like that. Is that a number three, or is that still a part of
still number two? Because the whole point is with responsibility is if we are in this together for the betterment of something, which is what that's what I loved about Abraham Lincoln's what's the group of people around the president?
Cabinet.
They were all not enemies per se, but they didn't like each other. They were all from different sides of everything. But his point was, when we start with that first one, that we're in this together, that's what the power of it was. Now that we're in this together, you bring the best of who you are to take responsibility for this, which means we get to admit when we're wrong, too. It's a powerful thing.
When you talk about character, Terry, are there Are there universal character traits, or do you think it's individual?
Well, it depends on which magazine article you read. In some sense, there's several. You know, some will say you're trustworthy, or you respectful, or you're loyal, or you have self-control, or you're fair, and all those are good. There's nothing wrong with any of those. It's just that that to me, the word I like to use is vocation, because I mean, I had to switch something in life. It's not what I wanted from life. It's what life wanted from me, which is the difference between my calling and my vocation. My calling is I've been a clergy. My calling is I've been a writer. I've been a speaker. I've been a garden designer. You know, I've had several callings, but my vocation is to be a person to help bring sanity to an over-crazy world. That's my vocation. It's bigger than my calling.
Oh. Terry, I've never heard that before.
And the thing about that, the reason that it's hard for us to talk about character with one another in smaller things is because we always ask each other about calling things, you know? I mean, how's your job going? What's your next vocation? What's your next raise going to be? What are you going to accomplish? And there's nothing wrong with those things.
So vocation would be we could probably almost use the word, using business terms, we could also almost use the word mission.
Good.
What is your mission in life? I really like that, because one thing I've noticed is that different people have different strength of character qualities.
Sure.
And not only are they not strong in some areas, some people may believe in one character quality is not really a great character quality. You could actually have a dispute on that. That's why I ask, is there any kind of comprehensive list, which I don't think there is, and yet there is a list of things that fit with character that, you know, if you're a liar and a cheat and a thief, you would not be a person of character.
See, that's why I like my list better. I mean, I like my list that number one is you're connected. So if you're connected, you've got to ask what's the purpose of the whole, the greater whole, my team, whatever. The culture, whatever it is, what's the purpose? Now, you may have the capacity, a different capacity than me, so our character might be different in that way. But both of us can come together on this point. So I bring myself with responsibility to that. We both can do that in different ways, but that's really
fascinating, Terry. What we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break right now, and then we're going to come back, and I may track us a bit different than where we're at right now. We'll see. Hi there, you're listening to The Next Chapter with Charlie. I'm Charlie Hedges, and I'm talking with my good friend Terry Hershey, and we were talking about character. Spent the first half on character. We're thinking about getting into trust, but we will see, because we still have more about character. And I would like you to talk to me, Terry, about consistency of character. That, you know, it's not something that fits. Character is not something that fits a particular situation, but is something that is, in fact, more universal, that it just it is something that contributes to all of our life. Would you agree with that? Are you there, Terry?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. I missed you. So did you hear my question?
Oh, no. Fire away.
Oh, you didn't hear my question.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. What was it? My question was about there is something about character that has to be, that consistency has to be a part of character, doesn't it? That it is something that is unwavering, and that we are, no matter the situation, that character is the same all the time. It doesn't vary with situations. Would you agree with that, or do you think there are times when it works and times it doesn't?
I would agree with that.
You would agree with that, that it is consistent?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love that. I've been dying to say, because it's what your dad had to say about a contract, about shaking a hand. I know there's a couple stories I have that. I have a contract. It was a pretty good sized contract. It was with a company, like a real live company, and it was I'll say the number. It was for a $40,000 contract, and there was nothing signed. The CEO stood up, put his hand across the table, and I put mine across the table, and we shook hands. That was it. And we just put a list, we made a list of, this is what I expect from, this is what he expected from me, and this is what I expected from him. Just said, yep, let's do it, shake a hand, deal's done. There was no contract, and nobody, and everybody performed to the contract. It's like this, the song from my country hero, Eric Church, who has a song called How About You, and in the song he says, when I shake your hand and look you in the eyes, you can bet your ass it's the truth.
Yeah, and part of the thing is though, well, how do we come to the table? How do we come to a table in the world where we shake hands, but we've both had ulterior motives about the shaking of the hands,
Yeah.
I don't disagree with you about that. Can I tell you a story? I know
you're
going to shift gears, but
please do.
Because this is what, 4 years ago, I walked the Selma Bridge, the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama.
Okay.
That's the bridge where in 1960s, Martin Luther King, John Lewis, who's still alive, congressman, they all walked, a group walked, because they were going to walk. This was about the Voters' Rights Act, and that's what the bus boycott was about, and they were going to walk to Birmingham from Selma. And George Wallace, who was the governor there, was not in favor of that, obviously, and so they had state police, and they stood on the bridge and beat them.
Right.
That was called Bloody Sunday, 1965, I think, but it's called Bloody Sunday, and they beat the people, and then because of that, LBJ did the Voters' Rights Act. But I was there just to figure out what it was. That was 4 years ago. I was honored to be there. It's for members of Congress and their families, and I got to go as a special guest. And I walked. John Lewis led it, and you think this will be an interesting experience, and then. We're in the church in Montgomery, not very far from where Martin Luther King lived, and which is where the boycotters had met, and we're there to do just like a welcome to Birmingham, welcome to Montgomery, and the mayor of Montgomery couldn't show, which is strange, and then the backup was the chief of police, and his name was Kevin Murphy. And so Kevin was simply, according to the script, was just he was going to get up and say, "Welcome to Montgomery." That was it. And this is a story about character, because he didn't tell anybody he was going to do this. Otherwise, there would have been media there, and it would have kind of, anyway, I'll tell you. So he stands up, and Kevin Murphy, chief of police, Montgomery, Alabama, been chief of police for quite a while. He's a white man, which it will become apparent in its implication. But he stands up and says, welcome to Alabama, but I need to go on. Mr. Lewis, would you stand, please? And he said, Mr. Lewis, I was not there at the time, but I've been the chief of police for a long time, but I need to tell you on behalf of everyone who was there at the time, we were wrong. We were not who we should have been. In other words, we were not men and women of character.
Right.
And I apologize. But I will tell you today, that we will be from this day forward.
Well, what a great speech.
Well, the room is not just silent. The air is sucked out of the room. And he took his badge off and gave his badge to him, which you only do for a dead colleague. And he said, this is my handshake.
Tell me now, is there a relationship? It's related to what you just said, but it's kind of a little bit of a different track. Do you see a relationship between the kind of character that we're talking about and trust?
You mean trusting ourselves or trusting someone else?
Trusting someone else.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's everything.
Absolutely.
You know, and I had broken trust down into two different. You know, as I was thinking about it and writing up about this, it occurred to me. You know, there's several forms of trust, several different ways trust works, but in general, I put trust in two areas that I'd like to talk about. One, can I trust you to treat with kindness any personal foibles that I may choose to express to you? That's if I'm telling you something that's not so impressive about myself or something that's actually bad about myself, what are you going to do with it? Can I trust you to deal with that with kindness and with empathy and with maybe hard truth, but knowing that it's coming from a place of love? Can I trust that with you? And my second one, and maybe even more important, is can I trust you to keep my secrets confidential? Because after all, gossip is a prime motivator in the human psyche. But let's talk about the trust of, can I tell you, what is it like? I know you've experienced it. What is it like when you think you can trust somebody and you think they're a person of character and you tell them something that has happened in your life, something you have done that you are not proud of, but as we all have, and that person turns around and betrays you and publicizes it and talks badly about you? What does that say about a person that does that? And what does that say about your heart?
Well, I mean, it's easy to say what it says about the other person, but I mean, that's not the language I typically use on shows like this. Charlie, sometimes I'll admit this in the past, sometimes I've done that, and it's not like a Hail Mary pass, but it's close. And you're hoping they hold it. And part of it is because I haven't done the work ahead of time for this, are we in this together thing. In other words, I haven't, in the gardening context, I haven't really been sure that the ground is ready for this kind of planting. I'm hoping it is. But I can't just hope that people can do that.
Do you think that kind of trust that people who are going to deal with you with empathy and kindness and as I said, perhaps hard truth, you know, whether it's true or not, but hard opinion that says, I really don't know that was the right thing, but, you know, let's work on it together. There's still empathy going on there. It's not necessarily condoning inappropriate behavior. But do you feel like you could call, that you could trust anyone or call anyone a friend who's not capable of that?
No.
No, not at all. Not at all, because we've all had people that we've, we talk about it, that we've given them our hearts and they've thrown it on the ground and stomped on it. And a person of character doesn't do that. What kind of character requirements are there to keep a person from being like that?
Well, I've got to be, I can only answer the question for me, and I mean, for me to not do that for somebody else, I've got to be a pretty secure individual. The only reason I'm doing that is to compensate for some insecurity that I have. Why would I need to sell you out? I'm only selling you out because I'm gaining something for it, which means I'm missing something. So I've got to be pretty insecure.
Yeah, that's a brilliant insight. But we all do have our insecurities.
I don't doubt that. But then, that's why, you know, part of the whole power of character is you got to have people in your life that you trust that you bounce this off of as you go along. I mean, both of us know what it's like to have great therapists who do that and great spiritual directors who do that and friends that do that. I mean, you're bouncing along as you go, because then you're finding, where the tethering is. And because if you don't have that, then the insecurities, they win. They have the most pull. You know, and Charlie, you can use your own experience. Think of it as addictions. If you're not intentional, think of AA or any of the other gatherings. That's really about character building. And what you're doing with that is you're enabling yourself not to give in to the insecurity.
And you're with a group of people that have the same insecurity, but they're...
Absolutely, which is my number two, permission to be vulnerable.
Right. That's absolutely true. And one of the things of the 12 steps program is we talk about brutal honesty and that we need to be honest, mostly honest about ourselves.
Sure.
Not honest about somebody else's sobriety.
Yeah, and so the person, I mean, I can call the person who does that to me lots of names, and I have, but there's a part of what I realize is, you know, like, okay, back off. What's my check and balance in the future? And why would they be so insecure to do this? I just hope I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, me too. And yet, you know, let's talk reality. There is a temptation sometimes to do that. Sometimes to disagree with something so much and disagree with what a person did. And then there is that temptation, you know, we have that dark temptation to say something or be something that is negative.
Yeah. Well, that goes back to the ego thing. I mean, people of character, once you realize you're connected, that it's not just about the ego, but if the ego is what feeds us, then you're right. That's exactly what we go back to. Our reset button.
That's sort of like what I think you and I talked about it before. That's sort of our first half and second half life.
I wouldn't doubt that. Yeah, I agree with that.
Sort of way that people in second half life are much more character-oriented,
sure.
connection, we're
exactly.
in this together, they're engaged, they're responsible, they're realizing there's more to life than themselves. Now, that doesn't come with every older person, but every older person that has moved to the second half of life, and that is what, you know, we were laughing before the broadcast, but, you know, I don't mind. I'm not a major political, but, you know, that is the way I view our president, is our president is still in the first half of life and is still trying to fill his ego, trying to fill his sort of definition of himself, that he himself can believe in himself, that he is a quality individual.
Yeah, that's what I loved about the thing in Selma. He didn't have to defend the indefensible. He didn't have to make something that was bad look good. He didn't have to try to impress anybody with the way he was doing it because he didn't call in the press. I mean, that's what I liked about that. There was an egoless part of it.
Now I want to go to a second thing that's even more difficult than the first. The first is, how do I respond, or maybe put it this way, how do you respond to my secrets? And what do you do with my secrets? How do you handle my secrets between you and I? I'm thinking between you and I. Can I trust you with my secrets? Because I can't trust everybody with my secrets. There are, you know, it narrows the list of friends down significantly. And you know what level narrows the list down most significantly is, what do you think character, trust, and how do you think that has to do with confidentiality?
Which part, though? What do you mean?
Well, that is confidentiality a necessary character quality for trust and for deep character?
Well, yeah. I mean, my thing for confidentiality is this. It's bigger than just whether I will tell or not tell. Because if I need more Facebook followers, I will tell. I'm just saying.
Okay.
No, I'm just...
Well, but it is true.
That's my point. It may be a joke, but it's true. The insane thing about just simply pushing a button. Confidentiality is about holding sacred space. That's confidentiality.
Holding sacred space to yourself.
No, for the other person.
What I meant, you know, to yourself regarding the other person.
I'm holding sacred space. In other words, first of all, I start with number one is we're connected. Well, if we're connected, I have to see both the dignity in you and the whatever in you. Now, if you and I have decided in number two, which is responsibility, that this goes to another level, that therefore I want to care for that, I need to take ownership of that. I need to literally have a handshake contract that says, I will hold sacred space for you. I will.
Do you think the list of people that are that you can trust confidentially is shorter than the list you can trust with treating your difficulties with kindness and empathy? I mean, I guess what I'm saying is the list of people that I feel I can absolutely tell something confidentially is a very small list. It's a very short list.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. Absolutely. As it should be.
And that's just because of our human propensity for, you know, there's probably a better word, but for gossip, we just...
Sure.
It's too good not to tell.
Yeah, that's the old adage about the old priest that said to the young priest, you know, your sermons are good, but one thing, when people come to you for confession, it's better if you don't say, you did what? Yeah, of course we love gossip. We love watching car wrecks.
Yeah, we have that dark side, don't we? You know, when I was in seminary, I still consider him my mentor. He was the one who taught me how to read the Bible, and he taught me how to read it as literature, not as, you know, I came up with this conclusion that there's two ways to read the Bible. One, to read it as law, and to read it as wisdom. And I selected the latter, that it is a wisdom corpus or a wisdom piece, and it's not a legal corpus. It's not about a bunch of laws here and there. It's all about wisdom and what you do with that. And that's what I learned from this man. Well, this man happened to have a serious issue that was illegal and sexual and all those things that conservative Christians can't have. And he was... And he was caught by the police, and there were a number of people, and it was still rather confidential, but then a number of people that were his supposed close friends went out and told everybody, and one close friend came and said, I am so sorry. I should never have told anybody anything about this. Is there anything I can do? And he says, well, it's kind of like the story. You can take a goose and remove all the feathers from the goose, go up to the church steeple and throw the feathers out into the wind of the church steeple. Now go out and collect the church feather, the goose's feathers, and replace them on the goose. It's impossible. The story's out. You can't reverse a break of confidence.
Right. Yeah.
So, how do you know? Is there a way you can tell that a person is a person of confidence? Will hold confidentiality?
You can watch them. You can watch what they do in small conversations.
Yes, that's what it is. It's bits and pieces.
Small conversations. I mean, you can see. I mean, everyone has a tell that way. I mean, you can see what people do with any of those kind of things. You can see whether they sneer. You can see whether they smirk. You can see whether they appreciate or don't appreciate. You can see whether they hold it. You can see whether they listen. You can tell whether that's there. And part of the thing is, you know, I have to just come back to me. Am I a place that holds people sacredly? And I do, because I treasure. I mean, because you're one of them. Because I have a few friends, but I've had them for a long time.
Yeah, you are truly one of the very few people that I trust. I can tell you anything.
I know
it won't go. It won't go to. Your significant other, it won't go to anybody. It's just going to...
And the reason you know that is because you know that at my age, my memory sucks. But the point is, I honestly do, Charlie, think, how do I practice the very things that piss me off about other people? In other words, so that I don't do the things that piss me off about other people.
Yeah, I read a quote by Carl Jung, and he said, everything that irritates us about others can lead us to an understanding of ourselves.
That's a great quote. I didn't know that quote.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. So we are about running out of time, and I had one more thing I wanted to talk about, but you know what? We're really fortunate is that I, too, am approaching 70, and I can't remember what that one thing was. Terry, this has been a fascinating podcast. I just hope that our people can, our listeners can somehow embrace the necessity of strong character and trustworthiness, and that it will genuinely change their life and the life of others.
Yeah, but let me say one thing real quickly, Charlie, because that's the power of this whole thing we've been talking about an hour, is that character is not something that you just distill to the, all right, there's these 5 points and you just practice them and do them. That's not what you do. Character is already something inside of you. So you discover it and embrace it. That's what you do. It's not something
you how do you, and how do you discover it is the question. And
being open, honest, and vulnerable. Just like you and I were doing with each other with several parts of this conversation.
You know, I know Paul's raising, that we have little time here left because somebody else is coming into the studio, but I'm going to tell a 2-minute thing and then we're leaving. I have a methodology of determining what are your most important values. And I run an exercise with people and I have them write a page to a page and a half on one person they highly respect. And then, after they write that, what they highly respect, the next step is to circle every single word that is important to you, that strikes a chord to you. It could be kindness, it could be justice, it could be anything in there. And then I say, take and make a list of 5 to 10 of those. Those will come as close as you can find to representing your personal values, your personal character and core beliefs. And it's been an exercise that I just wanted to share with our audience. It's an exercise that has worked really, really well, because it takes you out of the, listing the Boy Scout model. It takes you into real life and to what's going on with you.
Yes.
Well, my friend, we are out of time, and we need to close this. So I want to thank you so much for spending your time today with me. And I want to encourage all our listeners to check out your post titled Sabbath Moment, which can be found at terryhershey.com. And I also want to thank all our listeners for tuning in to The Next Chapter with Charlie. Be sure to check out our website. That's thenextchapter.life, L-I-F-E. And until next, this is Charlie Hedges signing off. Bye for now.